Hi, welcome to the third episode of the Dabuti podcast. I'm your host, Giordano Durante. For my guest this week, we have the Gibraltarian artist and fellow Upper Town resident, Naomi Duarte, an artist whose surname appropriately contains the words art and arte. Naomi has won various prizes and awards for her work, including most recently this year the People's Choice Award, a highly commended, and the Sovereign Art Foundation Award for Best Young Artist for her piece Masculinity. Naomi studied art at Sheffield Hallam and went on to do an MA in art history at the Open University. She's currently in Liverpool furthering her studies, and she joins us via audio link. Hi, Naomi. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Hi, Giordano. Thanks for having me.
That's right. Hopefully the audio quality will be okay. We had a few hiccups already, but let's see how it goes. My first question, Naomi, looking at your work on Instagram over the past year or so and other material that you've sent me, I want you to tell me about the inspiration behind those works of yours that involve the scanning of what seem to be old family photos and then the addition of like parts of flowers, petals, whole flowers, almost as if they were pressed flowers. What do those flowers contribute? You know, what's the symbolism in your work?
Yeah, so they are old family photographs which I've scanned, and old photographs have this kind of like sublime magic quality, don't they? And I know there's this process that a lot of people do where they scan in old photographs, and it's to kind of to just have them immortalized in some way. Mm-hmm. So I don't excuse myself from that. The flowers, what they do, they provide that kind of symbolism of fragility and preciousness, I guess, to those photographs. And the way it started wasn't anything quite profound. It was on a walk during lockdown and picking up these flowers which were up the rock, and just kind of noticing the discarded and what's been left, and the fact that these flowers have grown in the place that I have grown as well. There's that concept, and also the usual kind of connotations that flowers bring in terms of beauty and judgment as well. Mm-hmm. In terms of like looking at Kant and his discourse around that. So for me, kind of overall, there's a sense of misplacement. You know, I mean, these flowers have been picked up and they've been put under the scanner, which is something rather unusual, because, you know, what do you do with the things that you have taken? And for me, it's kind of way of keeping them forever. And I think that kind of holds back to my sentiments with the photographs as well. There's a certain kind of immortalization in keeping things in a digital way. It's quite fulfilling, and it's quite satisfying. You're treasuring them, and there's nothing quite there's not much skill into it, there's not much craftsmanship, but there is something very warm about finding these little fragments and keeping them snug in my memory, and just placing them alongside something which is so fragile, which just kind of represents that, I guess.
Writing about your work, you've said that altering image has been a mechanism of understanding and learning what things mean. So what does altering a photo do to it? And is it similar to, I mean, from where I'm coming from the writing sort of side of things, is it similar to like, so from the writing side of things, is it similar to, you know, to writing a poem that then you reimagine a past event?
Definitely. So I guess kind of altering images, because obviously these images aren't ones that I have taken, and I usually kind of, I appreciate the fact that I haven't taken them, because I'm already working with kind of pre-existing just facets, I guess, that have existed before me, and it does kind of allude to my identity and what has constructed me. So when I am kind of using these images, in essence, I recognize that I am altering them, and I'm altering the meaning and the concepts. And, you know, photograph is really cool because they can't be denied, and they have the status of the facts. And when they hold narratives and they're very personal, you know, it's not just a photograph of a mug or anything like that. The people which have existed, and the people of close sentiment to me. So when I'm kind of dealing with an image, in essence of just using it, there is that process of understanding and reflecting, because you're constantly making choices. I mean, it's the same with writing. You're constantly choosing specific words to convey something, and through that process you get a kind of understanding of them. And like I said, I just recognize that holding them, it changes them. It changes what you do, because there's this responsibility of what are you going to say? What are you going to do when you create a work of art? What do you want to say? And yeah, 100% right. It's definitely like representing something that has already existed. And yeah, there's that kind of like dialogue that goes on. So yeah, and obviously because I deal with people and just exploring the human condition through those things.
And I noticed that some of the photos that you share have like a hidden art to them. I mean, one in particular that struck me is a man with a little child in an alleyway. There's like a really curious play of light and shade. I'm not sure if it's a member of your family.
It is.
Oh, it is fantastic. And your caption calls the composition gorgeous, but obviously I assume that the photo wasn't taken by a professional. So any artistry that it has is sort of like accidental in a way. So do you hunt out this hidden beauty in mundane things and seek out like the aesthetically significant in really ordinary images? And how do you make people, you know, your audience, your appreciators, how do you make them notice such things?
So that's a really good question. The person in that image is a family member, but the little boy was, so he was my grandfather, and right. The man with him was my great-grandfather, who I can't really remember much. And you know, seeing those images, they do trigger such an evocative response, at least personally. That's why I guess I kind of call it gorgeous, because that accident in which kind of someone has just probably taken the photo without being as conscious aesthetically as probably like artists are. I mean, we have this kind of consciousness of things being aesthetic, but I don't know who the photographer was, and that really kind of interests me. In terms of like hunting out this hidden beauty in the mundane, definitely, and those things which are accidents, and those things which people might not see as beautiful, and those kind of little connotations that come through. And I'm not sure if it's because they're personal or what, but I mean, I'm trying to figure that out. But yeah, whilst kind of looking at the upper town, and you know, I grew up there and I still live there apart from here, I came across the philosophy of wabi-sabi, which is an Eastern Japanese kind of philosophy. It used to kind of go back to interior design. Are you familiar with it?
No, I haven't heard of it, no. Please tell me. So
wabi-sabi is basically kind of like accepting the ugly, kind of accepting the impermanence and the transience of life, and when things kind of go through time, and just making sure that kind of you notice them and you kind of love them in some kind of way. Yeah. So basically having like those green window, the kind of window panes and the shutters, yeah, that you see throughout the town, and they're kind of, they're falling apart, but there's a certain... Yeah.
Those are the best ones, the ones that are falling apart.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the philosophy of wabi-sabi, Jimmy, and and kind of just loving the ugliness because of time and because of memory. So yeah, I mean, in terms of making people notice such things, I'm not sure if I do. And to be fair, that's kind of irrelevant for me. It's just, it's more personal. It's more, well, do I notice those things? And why have I noticed those things?
Yeah.
So yeah, and just kind of gaining some understanding. Yeah, because, you know, similar to an uncut gem, this, I understand that this is so multifaceted. And I just strive to learn and how to depict each facet accordingly as an artwork. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And some of your work also looks back to Gibraltar's tobacco smuggling days, you know, in the from the 70s, 80s and 90s. Why is this part of our part interesting from an artistic standpoint?
I mean, from an artistic standpoint, I couldn't really cohesively tell you. Like, I just think it's interesting as a human, as a person existing in this day and age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, reflecting back to our past is, it's so important. And more so when this kind of sentiments involved and there's those affinities. Like, I don't hold it secret to the fact that I have personal kind of relations to an ex-tobacco smuggler, and kind of learning that most Gibraltarians do, like nowadays. And it might not be as kind of, I don't know, the kind of vibe that's come through, it's probably changed, you know, now it's more like Gucci pouches and things like that. Mm-hmm. But there is that kind of connection that we all share. So I guess as an artist, I just happen to kind of want to just explore this and explore the kind of moral implications that it brings.
My next bit was about that. It was about how do you feel about the, you know, like the morally complicated aspects of this? Because, I mean, it was an illegal activity. It led to like a lost generation of, you know, young men without jobs, with criminal records, even some young men, you know, who lost their lives at sea. And it also tarnished Gibraltar's reputation. But so how do you approach this as an artist without condoning such activity, without glamorizing it or presenting like a sanitized version of what really happened, but at the same time being very raw in your depictions? I mean, there's no getting away of the reality of what happened. And, you know, I think it does deserve to be recorded and explored by artists whether it's writing novels or poems, or in your case, you know, looking at photos and family memories.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, obviously kind of the aspect of nostalgia really forms the foundation for this topic, because like you've discussed, it skews so much and it taints so much. And, you know, when kind of looking back at a certain kind of emblems, because it's not just necessarily photographs, because I feel like photographs can be a little bit too frail in terms of, like, it's very easy to kind of create judgments, and also, I guess, just exploring the whole notion of judgment. But I think it's more kind of recognizing memory and our memory of these people and this era, and whether it was good or bad, and the people that are associated, are they good, are they bad, and just using it to kind of inform us of our identity, I guess. I want to tap into memory, my memory, those who I love, other Gibraltarians. I don't want controversy for sensationalistic sake, and it's not a question of celebrating them, because it isn't, but it's just recognizing them and like I said, a sort of memorialization. And just recognizing that they hold fractions of our identity. I can't even begin to explain the moral implications about these characters, because for me, they feel like characters. I'm so distant. We're so distant from it now, aren't we?
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, it's recognizing, okay, well, where is the truth here? place. And yeah, it was an illegal activity, but you know, where on the spectrum do we put it? Was it all bad? I mean, and how can we say that it's bad? But how can we say that it's good? Do you know what I mean? So I know, I want to spark that recollection and of associations and knowing that these things, they're very kind of gray, and just acknowledging it. And you know, a lot of people have kind of contacted me about that topic,
yeah,
because there's a certain kind of warm feeling that one gets when we talk about Gibraltar's tobacco smuggling days. And you know, it's quite funny because it dates back, it kind of goes back, sorry, to pirates and the pirates that we used to have in Gibraltar. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a question of Gucci pouches nowadays and Tijuana Bralas.
Yeah.
It goes back a very, very kind of long time from Gibraltar. So yeah, I mean, I don't know how or where it's going, and I understand that people, they feel very ashamed. And I guess at the bottom of it, I recognize that art holds no shame, and as humans, we kind of fall into that. And you know, like Humbert was kind of expressing the other week in the other episode.
Yeah.
You know, just that kind of idea of empathy and the transgressive and the raw and the honest.
Yeah.
For me, it's not. Yeah, so I'm not sure where it goes. I know photographs kind of really spark, and there's those emblems of advertisement and merchandise as well.
Mm.
You know, a lot of just kind of recognizing the moral implications and seeing who we are as humans and our values and our morals.
So
we feel like we're kind of, I don't know, we don't fall into that category of very kind of pristine, but you know, you get a few people around and the conversation sparks up and you recognize that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Naomi, you mentioned the concept of nostalgia, which I think is, you know, seems to be important in your work, and it's important in, definitely important in my work, and it's some of the things that I've explored, yeah, in the first episode in particular about middle age. Do you think nostalgia is tightly linked to living in Gibraltar? You know, are Gibraltarians, mm, whether they're artists or writers or otherwise, are they more drawn to nostalgic themes than others? It feels like we're always flung back into the past.
Yeah, yes, definitely. And I can't even really begin to explain fully why or how. But yeah, it's like I told you, I feel like Gibraltar itself, it just expels it. It provides us the conditions to be nostalgic because it's such a unique place. And I think the more one travels, the more one recognizes that it's so unique. And obviously the past, just this whole construction of culture and identity and yeah, there's just, I mean, it's crazy, and I think kind of being here in the UK, it does sharpen those feelings because it's like,
yeah,
where did I come from and where am I now? And just trying to kind of, I think artists and creatives, we try a lot to kind of figure our identity out. So, yeah, I mean, as Janitos, we do go back, and like I said, a lot of people do it through scrolling hours through Facebook and Gibraltar old photos. Like, yeah, I think it's a constant change, Giordano. I think Gibraltar is going through so much change so often, and we really kind of appreciate, and like Hamilton says, you know, it's such a part of who we are, our past. You know what I mean? I think that's why, you know, I never kind of got to experience Arango's Palace, but I can't help but feel a little bit melancholic when I'm waiting downstairs and I just see that car park.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it might have to do with beauty or whatever. And I understand the kind of, there's a sense of utility to it, but I don't know. It's just, there's, yeah, something about home.
Yeah, and it could be something that you've hinted at. It could be the fact of rapid change in terms of buildings and infrastructure, but still very old walls. The upper town, a lot of it still quite unchanged from the 70s and 80s. It could be that contrast there that sort of digs into our Llanito hearts and makes us long for a simpler sepia tinted past, you know, when these things were unchanging and sort of fixed, fixed in pickle, like a jar in a pickle jar. It could be that contrast. I suppose other places also have that contrast. But maybe in Gibraltar, because of its size, the fact that, it's a town that you can know nearly all of in your life pretty well, because you can know almost every street and every block. And just seeing the rapid changes, and especially even living in the UK, coming back after 3 or 4 month breaks and seeing the changes, that might sort of, get the longing going, and that feeling of longing for a past. That's my possible explanation for why nostalgia's quite evident amongst Gibraltar artists.
And I think there's, like I said to you, the fact that we're so close as a community, we're so close. We have our families are very big, and they're kind of born and bred, and we stay there. Very few of us leave Gib. I do think that Gibraltar is just a breeding ground for nostalgia, and that kind of it can be a little bit stifling because we recognize that. But at the same time, there's just something so comforting about being back at home, and definitely the change and those things. But nostalgic, whether we can kind of put ourselves under that umbrella, I'm not sure, because like I expressed to you the other day, I think kind of being nostalgic is very difficult. And like I said, I feel like I've been handed down nostalgia by people who could not handle it. The kind of sense of being profound and kind of holding nostalgia gracefully and sitting with it and letting it inform us and letting it kind of inform us about who we are as a people and things like that. I just feel like a lot of kind of Gibraltarians nowadays become very cynical as time goes on, and instead of kind of looking back at the past with grace and tenderness, they're very snarky and judgmental. I think that's what, as creatives, we try to kind of bring out the wabi-sabi in it, to give me the beauty and the impermanence and just accepting it, I guess.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Naomi. If anyone wants to see any of your works or your art stuff, where can they get that? You've got an Instagram account just for your art, yeah?
Yeah. So I have my Instagram, and I guess you could contact me via email. You can put that in the caption.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever, because, it's just a bit lengthy. and Jimmy, I'm a bit of an intuitive and passionate person. So in terms of kind of showing people my work, it just kind of boils down to Instagram, because I'm very... I just kind of don't really set to strict schedule, but it's how I am. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for your great answers, and thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for everyone for listening as well, and to carry on listening to Giordano's podcast, because like I said, it just kind of, it shows us that although these topics might not never be kind of like patted down and concrete and provided answers, it's just a matter of letting it kind of sit with us and liberate us and encourage us. So thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot for speaking to me, and thank you all for listening. Thank you and goodbye.